ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। ओम नमः शिवाय 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 नमः शिवाय ओम 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 नमः शिवाय। कक्षायाः आरम्भात् पूर्वं नमः पार्वती पतये हर हर महादेव। गीतानां मोक्षधर्माणां च एवं परत्वात् सो नॉट ओनली द उपनिषद्स आल्सो स्मृति ग्रंथास हैव देयर तात्पर्यम ओनली इन ज्ञानम। दे फोकस ओनली अ नॉलेज। दे आर नॉट असोसिएटेड विद कर्म। Then, this morning, we came to that next discussion. Veda Shastram, the Veda is one textbook consisting of two different Shastrams. And here, the answer is given by Adishankara Bhagavatpada. The question is not presented. And we ourselves assume a question. What is the question? How can the Veda, which is one book, which serves as a means of knowledge, present Atma as Karta in the Karma Kanda, and the same Veda presents Atma as Akarta, Jiva as Akarta in the Jnana Kanda? how can two attributes which are opposed to each other exist in the same locus? Ekasmin dharmini katham viruddhau dharmau. How is it possible for two attributes which are opposed to each other to exist in the same locus? For which the answer is given. Why does Karmakanda of the Veda present the Jiva as the doer? And later on, in Jnanakanda, present Jiva is essentially the non-doer. This is the question for which the answer is given. This question is not presented. The question is implied, question is understood. The answer is given here. Okay. See that answer. Tasmat. Atmanaha. Anekatva. Kartrutva, Bhoktrutvadi, Cha, Ashuddhatva, Apapaviddhatvadi, Cha, Upadaya, Lokabuddhi, Siddha, Karmani, Vihitani. So Karmani Vihitani means varieties of rituals, the karmas have been prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda. Karmani Vihitani, Karmani have been prescribed. Rituals, karmas have been prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda. And what is the basis for that? Because there is a Loka Buddhi. Loka Buddhi means there is a common general assumption on the part of all the people, not that only one person here and there. The entire humanity, all the people of the world, always are of this understanding. They all have this very strong, deep-rooted notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And they all think what? We are all different from each other. But there are many jivas. Jivas are many. Their atmas are many. This is our already, we all have this understanding already. Without studying the Shastram, without knowing anything, just being born a human being itself, we all have this understanding. We all have this assumption. What is that assumption? We are all different from each other. And there are many jivas. There are many atmas. Many jivatmas. Atmanaha anekatvam. No, manyness, plurality. Anekatvam means plurality. Plurality of the atmas. Then, aham karta, I am the doer. This entertaining the notion that I am the doer is doership. The doership in Sanskrit is kartrutvam. There is naturally kartrutvam on the part of every individual. There is kartrutvam on the part of every individual means what? There is doership. There is doership means every individual is endowed with the notion that I am the doer. I am the doer. So atmas are many. There is notion of the plurality of atmas and the doership. Then bhoktrutvam. There is bhoktrutvam on the part of every individual. There's doership, enjoyership. What is enjoyership? What is doership? Bhoktrutvam. What is enjoyership? Bhoktrutvam. Entertaining the notion that I am the enjoyer is enjoyership, which is bhoktrutvam. Then, cha, ashuddhatvam. There is also the sense of being impure, sense of impurity, centered on I. I am not clean. I am a sinner. I committed sins. Aham papi. I am impure. I am jealous. I am angry. I am upset. I am unhappy. I am passionate. I have aversion. These are all what? The impurity, the sense of impurity centered on I. Which means I am papi. It's called ashuddhatvam. Having the status of being the impure, being impure is ashuddhatvam. There is already we have the notion. I have punyam, I have papam. Isn't it? That is ashuddhatvam, centered on I. The sense of impurity centered on I. Then, papaviddhatvam. I have to suffer. I go through the pain which is a result of papa karma. I am afflicted. I am affected. So having the status of being the afflicted, enjoying the status of being the afflicted. I suffer. I go through pain and pleasure. Means I am afflicted by punya papam. I am afflicted by, I go through pairs of opposites. I have pain, I have pleasure, I have success, I go through failure. This is papa viddhatvam. It means seeing oneself being afflicted by the punya papa. Papa viddhatvam, etc. All these are all what? Adhyasa. Adhyasana means what? Erroneous self-perception. There is erroneous self-perception. Error in the perception of the self. Therefore, we entertain wrong notions. There is naturally ajnanam. We have not created ajnanam. It is not wrong to be ignorant. It is not a great crime to be ignorant, because we have not created ignorance. Ignorance is naturally there. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of so many things is there, no problem. But there is also ignorance of what I is. There is knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am. So all of us are blessed with this knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am. I know I am. I know I am. Who does not know? There's nobody who can say, oh, am I? I don't know whether I am. Isn't it? Nobody will say here. This is this knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am. So, knowledge is there. But what is not there is what I is. I is this. If you say wave is, if you know, this is partial knowledge. There is an ocean. There is a wave. this knowledge of existence of the wave. Wave is means you know that you have the knowledge of, you have knowledge of the existence of the wave. Oh, wave is. I don't know what wave is. I know. Wave is half knowledge. Wave is water is total knowledge. Existence of the wave in terms of wave is partial knowledge. If you know wave is water, it is total knowledge. Isn't it? Similarly, I am is knowledge of the existence of the self. But what I is, what I am, there is no knowledge. That's ignorance. It's called partial ignorance. It's a partial knowledge. Half ignorance, half knowledge. It is this half ignorance which is natural. Half knowledge also is naturally there. We don't need to make any effort to know I am. I don't need to make any effort to know whether I am here or not. I don't need to go to any school to know whether I am here or not. But to know, naturally there is knowledge. Similarly, there is naturally ignorance also. And because of this, because I there is ignorance of what I am, naturally I is identified with what it is not. Therefore, I is identified with non-self anatma. Anatma is mistaken to be the atma. Anatma, the non-self, is mistaken for the self. Therefore, all limitations of non-self are superimposed upon the self. Therefore, what happens? Any notion you entertain about yourself is erroneous notion. Why? The notion you entertain about yourself is erroneous notion because it is based on erroneous self-perception. And the error in the perception of yourself is because of the partial ignorance of not knowing what I am. Is it clear now? So ignorance results in erroneous self-perception. Ajnanam results in adhyasa. Adhyasa results in adhyaropaha. Superimposition of limitations of non-self upon the self. Because of adhyaropa, there is a wrong notion everyone entertains about one's own self, not about others, about one's own self. This erroneous notion you entertain about yourself is ahankara. Aham papi, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am a sinner, I am not clean, I am afflicted, I suffer. So I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. or what? Already the notions we entertain about ourselves. That's what is said here. Atmanaha anekatva. Because we think with this identity, I is identified with the physical body. Not only physical body, also the subtle body. I is identified with the non-self and bodies are many. Therefore, what do we think? There are many atmas. And there's a notion I am the doer. There's a notion I am the enjoyer. There's a notion, erroneous notion that I am unclean, I am impure. There's a notion that I am a sinner and I suffer. I become the victim of the result of actions. All these are already very well known, prevailing in the world. So generally, the entire humanity, all the people of the world have these notions. Suppose, and this is a wrong notion, error. But with Upanishad, why do you study Upanishad now? The study of the Upanishad itself is to discover what I am. Thereby to resolve the wrong notions we have about ourselves, to correct the error in our perception of the self. That is why we are studying Upanishads. But what happens, Upanishad, if we have to study Upanishad, first of all we must accept Upanishad as a means of knowledge. We must have Shraddha in Upanishadic teaching. Therefore, Shruti cannot come and tell us directly how wrong we are. Okay? So, Shruti has to accept. Shruti accepts. Accepts our problems. So, makes us feel good. Somebody comes and points out you are wrong. You feel offended and hurt, and then you feel long face. Isn't it? So Shruti accepts. Accepting us wherever we are. We are sinking in the water. Now, we are there. Shruti Mata. Shruti accepts us. That is why Shruti is called Mata. Veda is called Mata. Because you are accepted as you are. Without finding fault with you, you are accepted. You are fondled. You are looked after. You are taken care of. And gradually you are taught. That's why Shruti is Mata. Mother. Our mother, our biological mother also, mothers take care of us to some certain, certain point. Which the mothers cannot help after some point. And his emotional, physical well-being is looked after by our biological mother. The emotional well-being is taken care of by Shruti. Shruti is Mata, Veda Mata. Okay. So, based on these, accepting our notions, wrong, erroneous notions, adaya, upadaya. The statement upadaya means what? Accepting our erroneous notions we entertain about ourselves without correcting, saying that you are wrong immediately. Veda Shastram in Karma Kanda prescribes karmani. Perform this ritual. Have this benefit. Perform that ritual. Have this benefit. Do you want to go to Bahamas, NASA? Book this flight like that. Perform this ritual. Go to heaven. Do you want to see Rambas dance? No, you can't see any of the local world stages. To go there. You want to sing, not local musicians, you want to listen to Gandharva singing. You have to go there only for your special punyam, special visa, and for which you have to have punyam, money. Punyam is the buying power. Why do this ritual? And then, so many rituals. Even in this world, so iha para sukham, for enjoying certain pleasures in this world itself, to have progeny, to have wealth, to have things, good health, for everything there are rituals. Similarly, to go to heaven, etc., also heavenly pleasures also, to enjoy pleasures of after leaving this physical body, to enjoy pleasures while living in this world, in this body, also. Karma Kanda prescribes so many rituals. Accepting our wrong notions centered on I. Is it clear? That's true. When Shruti accepts our wrong notions, accepts the, you know, accepts the jiva as the doer. Just because Shruti accepts jiva as the doer, Shruti is not teaching us that you are a doer. Even though in Karma Kanda, jiva is presented as a doer, that does not mean Shruti, Karma Kanda of the Veda, teaches us that you are a jiva. Okay? So those statements of Karma Kanda, where jiva is presented as a karta, is not a pramanam. Is it clear? Those statements of the Karma Kanda, where jiva is presented as karta, should not be taken as a pramanam, as a statement which serves as a means of knowledge. Is it clear? Why? Because what is a pramanam? Pramanam means anadigata arthabodhakam pramanam. Anadigata arthabodhakam pramanam. A pramanam means a means of knowledge which helps you understand something which cannot be understood through any other means. Pramanam is that which helps you, which serves as a means of knowledge of something which is already not known to you. Pramanam is a pramanam only if it teaches you, it helps you understand something what is not known to you already. If Shruti comes and teaches you what is already known to you, then you cannot call Shruti a pramanam. Do you already know that you are doer or not? You already very well know. You already know very well that you are the doer. I am the doer. This knowledge is already there or not? You are not studying Upanishad to know I am the doer. If Shruti also, Veda Shastram comes and teaches you that you are the doer, then you cannot call Veda Shastram a pramanam. Why? Pramanam, a means of knowledge, can be said to be a means of knowledge, an instrument of knowledge, only if it helps you understand what you do not know already. Therefore, in Karma Kanda, the statements of Karma Kanda, wherever you are accepted as the doer, and where the jiva is presented as the doer, those statements are not pramana vakyani. They're not been taken as means of knowledge. Is it clear? One point. So when Shruti also presents, restates what is already known to you in terms of I am the doer, jiva is the karta, individual is the doer, jiva is the doer, jiva is the enjoyer. These, when Shruti restates what is already known to you, that restatement is called what? We say anuvada vakyam. Anuvada vakyam. Pramana vakyam is different from anuvada vakyam. Shruti accepts our notions, wrong notions, accepts us as we are, accepts the notion we entertain about ourselves in terms of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. Shruti also restates jiva is the doer, jiva is the enjoyer. not only Shruti accepts the jiva as the doer enjoyer, Shruti even prescribes karma for the doer to perform, to enjoy the benefits of results of those actions. Is it clear? But Shruti's restating of what is already known to us is called Anuvada Vakyam. It is not Pramana Vakyam. Anuvada Vakyam does not remove your ignorance. Anuvada Vakyam is not meant for removing your ignorance. It's simply restated. To make you feel comfortable. To make you know. Pramana Vakyam comes later on. Is it clear? Now, so Veda Shastram consists of two, Veda Grantaha consists of two Shastram. Veda Grante Shastra Dvayam, two Shastrams. How do we know that? What is the basis? What is the criterion here which help you understand that there are two different subject matter, two different Shastras? We have Anubandha Chatushtayam. You know, Anubandha Chatushtayam means what? The four factors involved in any textbook. If Anubandha Chatushtayam is different, then the textbook always different. What are the four factors? Adhikari, the eligible student or the person, the candidate, for whose sake, keeping whom in the mind, the subject matter is presented. Adhikari. The adhikari is the person for whose sake a given subject matter is presented, written. He is adhikari. Second is vishayaha. Vishayaha, subject matter of the textbook. And third, phalam. The benefit of understanding the content, subject matter of the text. Palam or Prayojanam. So Adhikari, Vishayaha, Prayojanam or Palam. The fourth factor is Sambandha. Sambandha means what? Between the text and the content, subject matter, there is a connection. What sambandha? Revealer, revealed connection. Pratipadaka, pratipadya sambandha. Pratipadaka, pratipadya sambandha. So, the connection, sambandha. Don't worry too much about it, just know. If this Anubandha Chatushtayam is the same, then even if there are many books may be many, Anubandha Chatushtayam is the same for all the books belong to one Shastra, come under the category of one Shastra. Suppose Anubandha Chatushtayam differs, even if it is one book, then you can separate the Shastra. That is different Shastram, this is different Shastram. So differentiation of Shastram subject matter is based on the difference in Anubandha Chatushtayam. Is it clear? Therefore, Karma Kanda should not be taken as a Pramana Grantha. Even though the whole Veda is a Pramana Grantha, the statements of Karma Kanda are not Pramana Vakyani. They do not serve as statements of instruments of knowledge, means of knowledge. They are only Anuvada Vakyani. They only restate what is already assumed. In a concept. Already whatever we think of ourselves, already they are restated. Is it clear? Now, there's a difference. Karma Kandasya Adhikari is different from Jnana Kandasya Adhikari. Who is the Adhikari of Karma Kandaha? The person who is the person of passion. You know, the one who has lot of, the one who is driven. The person of passion, the person who has many desires, is the adhikari for Karma Kanda. I want this, I want this, I want to achieve this, I want to go to heaven, I want to do this. Such, no? The person of passion is adhikari for Karma Kanda. Whereas person of dispassion is adhikari for Jnana Kanda. The person of dispassion means what? The person who has understood the limitations of Artha Kama Dharmas, who knows the value, the importance, the necessity of Artha Kama Dharmas, but still who knows the limitation of Artha Kama Dharmas. That Artha Kama Dharmas cannot give me what I am ultimately seeking. So knowing the limitations, one who has grown out of desire for Artha Kama Dharmas, thereby one who has discovered dispassion towards the everything else, having discovered passion for knowledge, is a person of dispassion. Is it clear? Is it clear? Okay. So, here, person of dispassion is Adhikari. See, Adhikari Bheda. One who aspires for Jnanam, freedom. One who aspires for happiness. One who has understood happiness is something to be discovered as one's own sorupam, as the very nature of reality. Happiness cannot be attained. It is already there as one's own sorupam. It has to be discovered. So happiness is my choiceless end. So I have to discover. One who has discovered, one who has purushartha nischeha, one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and one who is, thereby one has discovered dispassion towards everything else. Such a person, no, the person of dispassion is Adhikari for Jnana Kanda. The person of passion, full of passion, highly passionate person is Adhikari for Karma Kanda. Adhikari Bhedaha. Then Vishaya Bhedaha. Subject matter also is different. Here, you have to study the Karma Kanda. One has to have the knowledge of Karma Kanda. After having attained the Jnanam, one has to perform rituals to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. So, subject matter of the Karma Kanda is performance of rituals, know-how of rituals, all about rituals. The karma is subject matter. Is it clear? Whereas subject matter of Jnana Kanda is what? Nature of reality. And subject matter of Karma Kanda is time-bound action. Subject matter of Jnanakanda is timeless reality. Is it clear? So there is a Vishya Bheda. Then Phalam, benefit, Prayojanam. What is the benefit one can have, Prayojanam one can have by understanding the content of Karmakanda? Phalam is Anitya Phalam, definitely time bound result. You study the Karmakanda, understand the Karmakanda and perform the ritual also and enjoy the benefit of ritual also. Whatever the result of karma is time bound in nature. Because karma is time bound in nature, the accessories used to perform karma are also time bound in nature. Therefore, karma phalam also is time bound in nature. So, anitya phalam, time bound result, that is the benefit. Prayojanam is what? Time bound result. And what is the benefit of Jnanakanda? Understanding the knowledge, gain knowledge of subject matter of Jnanakanda is what? Nitya phalam moksha, everlasting freedom. Because you are not attaining the moksha here. You only take ownership of the freedom which is already there as your own nature by discovering what you are. Isn't it? So the result of Jnanakanda, the prayojanam, the benefit of understanding the content, subject matter of Jnanakanda is the attainment of moksha, which is permanent end. Whereas prayojanam, the benefit of understanding the Jnanakanda, sorry, Karmakanda, is what? Time bound result. Anityapalam, Nityapalam. Of course, Sambandha is the same. Pratipadaka, Pratipadya, Sambandha. Revealer, revealed connection. Now, it is very clear. Now, two shastrams are there or not? Veda is one grantha, one text, consisting of two shastrams, two text, subject matter, because the anubandha chatushtayam is different. Based on the difference in the adhikari, the person, no, the person, the people for whose sake subject matter is, there the difference is. Subject matter itself, there is different subject matter. The benefit of knowledge of subject matter also is different. The benefit enjoyable after attaining knowledge of subject matter also is different. Therefore, the two different shastras. Is it clear? Therefore, karma kandaha. Then why does Veda prescribe karma kanda at all? Why does karma kandaha? Why Veda herself encourages performing rituals? Because there's a purpose is there. Veda has to help us prepare our mind for understanding the subtlest fact. Finally, Veda has to reveal what now? Subtlest fact, that you are the whole. Mind-boggling fact, is it? You are the whole. It is not an ordinary thing. You are what you are searching for. You are fullness, you are the whole, you are the truth, you are happiness. This is the fact. And this is not some cock and bull story, it is a fact. And the most abstract fact, subtlest fact. And all that is there is only knowledge, Brahma. There is nothing which is not the truth here. another fact. And this is a subtle fact we have to understand, assimilate, ascertain. We have to revel in the vision of this fact. We must enjoy the luxury of reveling in this fact, reveling the vision of this fact, for which we need a subtle mind. The mind has to be subtle. The gross mind has to become subtle mind to appreciate subtle fact. So Veda's aim is ultimately to help us appreciate this fact, enjoy the benefit of understanding this fact. That's why Veda's aim is our wellness is aim of the Veda. That is why Veda is Mata. Who will think of her well-being? No mother in the world will think of, you know, think her child should suffer. Any mother, however, whatever suffering she goes through, will always think, oh, my child should be happy. Like that, Veda's aim is to make us happy, to help us discover our swarup, our wellness, our well-being, our welfare, our happiness is aim of the Veda. So Veda has to help us discover our own swarupa. Is it clear? So for which you must be prepared. The mind has to become ready for that knowledge. So Veda helps us prepare our mind to later on appreciate the subtle fact, abstract fact. In order to help us become subtle, convert our mind, gross mind, into a subtle mind, to help us become mentally refined, prepare for that knowledge, Veda Shastram has a voluminous portion of Karma Kanda, prescribing all karmas, teaching disciplines and values, even the way of life. Okay? And as I said in the morning, if Veda denies our perception experience, we will not accept Veda. We'll throw away Veda. Therefore, Veda accepts. Accepting our wrong notions, accepting our assumptions already, Veda in Karma Kanda, the Veda presents the Jiva as the doer. Okay? That doesn't mean Veda does not teach us. You are the doer, better understand. It doesn't say that. The restatement, anuvada vakyam, natu pramana vakyam. Is it clear? Okay, now we move on to the next. So, loka buddhi siddha karmani vihitani, accepting what is universally accepted by all people, assumptions of all people. Veda Shastram prescribes karma, presenting Jiva as the doer. Is it clear? Okay. Yohi karma phalena arthi drishtena brahma varchasadina adrishtena Swargadina cha jidvijatihi aham na kana kubjatvadi anadhikara prayojaka dharmavan iti Atmanam manyate saha adhikriyate karmasu iti hi adhikaravidaha vadanti. So in this portion, not only Veda Shastram restates the wrong notions which we already have in terms of I am the door, I am the enjoy, etc. Not only Veda Shastram restates that Jiva is the door, etc. In fact, to perform ritual, Veda Shastram prescribes these notions as in fact important qualifications. It is very important for a person to be endowed with these wrong notions. To be qualified for performing rituals. Is it clear? So he says, adhikara vidaha vadanti. The last sentence, adhikara vidaha vadanti. Adhikara vid means adhikara vid means the person who knows about the qualification. Then people who know about the qualification required for performing a ritual. The one who knows the qualification required for performing a ritual is called adhikaravit, the knower of the qualified person. Qualified for what? Qualified for not for jnanam, qualified for performing a ritual. Okay, there is a person who is qualified for performing a ritual, and there is another person, the knower of the qualified person. Such people who know, who are the qualified people, such people say, adhikara vidaha vadanti. What do they say? Look at this. Saha karmasu adhikriyate. Adhikriyate means he is eligible. Saha adhikriyate. That person is eligible. Eligible for what? Eligible for performing rituals. Karmasu adhikriyate. Saha karmasu adhikriyate. So and so is eligible for performing rituals. Who is eligible for performing rituals? Look at this. Yahahi karma phalena arthi. See, what is the qualification a person requires to be a successful performer of akarma? Here, Shankar Bhagavad Pada presents. First, he says, arthi. A person must be arthi. What is the qualification required for performing a ritual, performing any karma? Arthi. Arthi means aspirant. No? There must be, one must have firm desire. One must be driven by desires. Arthi means one who is desirous of enjoying, possessing things. Arthi. Arthi means being desirous. And he must be desirous of what? Desirous of enjoying the benefit, fruits of actions. Karma phalena arthi. So being desirous of enjoying the result of actions is one of first qualification. I want this result. I want to enjoy this. I want this phalam for which I want to do this karma. The desire to perform karma, and desire to enjoy the given result, accomplish a given result, and desire to enjoy that result of action. That must be there. It is called Arthitvam. First qualification. Arthitvam means having desire, being desirous of enjoying the fruit of action. And here, karma phalena arthi, this person is desirous of enjoying the fruit of action, enjoyable in this life itself, here itself. It is drishtam phalam. Drishtam phalam means the result enjoyable here now, for which the cause is known. The result, the cause is known. And what is drishtaphalam he wants to enjoy? Brahma varchas. Brahma varchas means there is a glow, isn't it? A brilliance showed, the reveal on the face as an expression of inner leisure a person has by living a disciplined life. I want to have Brahma varchas. I want to have Brahma varchas. Then you should not go to spa for that. Japa, 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 do japa, chant Veda mantras. Keep on chanting Veda mantras, living a clean vegetarian food, only twice a day, not all the time eating sattvic food, doing lot of seva, doing japa, living a disciplined life, chanting mantras, maintaining clean life, not having any improper relationships. All you have, then lot of Brahma varchas will come. Okay. So here, Brahma varchas means some inexplicable brilliance expressed on a face, which is an expression of inner leisure a person has as a result of living a clean, disciplined life. Okay? So, this is drishtapalam. Even to have that, you must work. Isn't it? Therefore, karma phalena arthi drishtena brahma varchas adi. It's only one result. Brahma varchas adina means what? There are so many results of actions, so many fruits of actions which can be enjoyed, which are enjoyable in this life now itself. A person who is endowed with a desire for enjoyment of fruits of actions enjoyable now in this life itself. That having the desire is qualification to perform a ritual. Then not only for the enjoyment of result of action enjoyable in this life now, adrishtena swargadina, there are many other adrishtapalani, the results of fruits of actions enjoyable after life, after this life, such as enjoyment of heavenly pleasures. Even for such, the person who has a great passion for enjoyment of fruits of actions here in this life and also hereafter, that having such a desire is the qualification. The person who has such passion, desire, is the qualified person for performing a ritual. Is it clear? Then, second thing, aham dvijatihi. Aham dvijatihi. The person who thinks I am twice born, that having that notion that I am twice born, being endowed with that notion that I am twice born, that's also an important qualification to perform a ritual. I'll tell you why. See, to be able to perform a ritual, one must recite Vedas. To be able to recite Veda mantras, one must study the Veda. to study the Veda, one must have a sacred thread. To have a sacred thread, one must go through the ceremony of Upanayanam. Isn't it? Only after a person goes through this Upanayana karma, Yajnopavita karma, he can have sacred thread. Then onwards he is called Dvijatihi, twice born. Then he is eligible for learning the Veda mantras. He can chant the Veda mantras. Then he can perform the ritual. Then he can enjoy the results of actions also. So, Aham Dvijatihi. Okay, I am twice born. It means I have a sacred thread. I am eligible to learn the Veda. That notion must be there. So, this is second qualification. Second qualification is, a person must be fit. The person who is qualified for performing rituals, he must be physically fit, mentally fit, and he must be rich enough. Fitness in terms of what? He must be eligible, he must have money to perform rituals. Performance of rituals involves expenditure. And you have to give dakshina to the priest. No? And second thing, certain rituals require that the person must be married, he must have his wife sitting next to him. Otherwise, he will not be qualified. So, it's all about now. Being eligible. Eligibility involves having money, having physical fitness, mental fitness. You can't be mad and sit in for the puja. Okay? Mentally strong, very clear what you want. I want this result. So mentally strong, physically healthy, emotionally stable, physically healthy, he must be married, he must have wife, he must have enough money to spend all that he must have. So, if a person is, suppose lame, he is deaf, he cannot see, he cannot walk well. No, such people who are physically disabled, challenged people, they are not eligible for performing rituals. Okay? So he says, who is the person who is eligible? Saha adhikriyate iti adhikara vidaha vadanti. People who are informed of the qualified people, qualifications, they say the one who has this very strong notion, the one who has strong desire to enjoy the results of actions here and hereafter, and who thinks that I am twice born, I am eligible to perform rituals, I am eligible to study Veda, etc., that person. And also who knows very well, I am not deaf, I am not dumb, I am not disabled, I am strong, I am not unqualified, I am qualified. One who thinks I am qualified. Why? I don't have any of these problems. Okay, one who knows such a person alone is said to be eligible for performing rituals. So not only karma kanda prescribes, not only karma kanda restates that jiva is a doer, Karmakanda also mentioned what, in fact, prescribes the qualifications required for a person who wants to perform a ritual, who wants to do karma. He must definitely have these threefold qualifications at least. Artitvam must be there. He must be desirous of enjoying the fruits of actions. He must have that that sense of being dvijatihi, aham dvijatihi, I'm twice born, that notion must be there. And he must know what? He must know very well, I am not lame. I don't have any problems. I'm qualified. He must know that. Such a person alone is eligible for performing rituals. So, yes, Veda Shastram accepts. So here ends what? The Shankara Bhagavatpada's presentation of reasons why, how the Ishavasya Upanishad has no connection with karma. Ishavasya Upanishad is purely for revealing the nature of the self. It has connection with Jnanakanda. It is an independent text belonging to Jnanakanda, which is over. Okay? Now comes the concluding statement. It's called concluding statement, is called a Nigamana Vakyam. Having presented the reasons above, the concluding statement is given, therefore. Isn't it? Was it clear? Tasmat.
Tasmat.
I have to explain one more thing here. See, kana. Kanatvam means having one eye. Kubjatvam meaning having the hunchback. Being a lame. Adi anadhikara prayojaka dharmavan. Na, I am not a person having these defects. I am not a person with these defects. So, I am qualified for performing a ritual. The person who has this notion, I am qualified for performing a ritual because I do not have these defects such as having one eye, having hunchback, etc. Okay? That's what I didn't read it, that's what I wanted to tell you this. Such a person alone adhikriyate, yaha manyate saha adhikriyate. He who thinks that like that, he alone is eligible. Okay. So what is the final conclusion? It's nothing wrong. That is a different thing. Vedashastram Karmakanda prescribes these things. Prescribes even the qualification required for performing a ritual. These wrong notions. Okay? That doesn't mean it is a Pramana Vakyam. Tatparyam is only in revealing the real nature of the self. Okay. Now we'll go to the next sentence. Tasmat.
Tasmat.
Tasmat means what? Therefore, because of that reason, due to the reason, what has been stated above, all these facts have been already enumerated, made very clear. What is that? Ishavasya Upanishad is an independent text which has nothing to do with, it doesn't have any connection with Karmakanda. It is only a text belonging to Vijnanakanda. Ete mantraha, atmanaha, yathatmya, prakashanena, atmavishayam, swabhavikam, ajnanam, nivartayantaha, శోకమోహాది
సంసార
ధర్మ విచ్ఛిత్తి సాధనం ఆత్మ ఏకత్వాది విజ్ఞానం ఉత్పాదయంతి. Let's make it very clear for you. Beautiful sentence. Ete mantraha. You all understand easily. Ete mantraha. These mantras. Which mantras? Mantras of Ishavasya Upanishad. Ete mantraha. Kim kurvanti? What do they do? Ete mantraha. Now you have to remember the what does Brahma Vidya do? Knowledge of the reality, what does it do? It removes ignorance. Thereby ignorance caused samsara. Remember, that is what is said here. Ete mantraha, these mantras, vijnanam utpadayanti. విజ్ఞానం ఉత్పాదయంతి, ఇది క్రియేట్ ది నాలెడ్జ్, నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ద ట్రూత్. వాట్ నాలెడ్జ్? క్లియర్, డౌట్ ఫ్రీ, అసర్టైన్డ్, ఇది క్రియేట్ నాలెడ్జ్. ది సర్వ్ యాజ్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్, ది సర్వ్ యాజ్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ అరివింగ్ అట్ ద ట్రూత్. సో ఏతే మంత్రాః విజ్ఞానం ఉత్పాదయంతి. విజ్ఞానం మీన్స్ వాట్? నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ద రియాలిటీ, నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మా ఇస్ విజ్ఞానం. దే క్రియేట్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ద సెల్ఫ్. ఏతే మంత్రాః విజ్ఞానం ఉత్పాదయంతి. ఓకే, వాట్ విజ్ఞానం ఉత్పాదయంతి? నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ద సెల్ఫ్ మీన్స్ దట్ దే create the knowledge of the self in terms of its nature, how atma is. Okay, first what do they say? Ete mantraha atmanah. See the first sentence, atmanah yathatmyam yathatmya prakashanena. You break it. ఏతే మంత్రాః ఆత్మనః యాథాత్మ్యం ప్రకాశయంతి. ప్రకాశయంతి మీన్స్ దే రివీల్. దీస్ మంత్రాస్ రివీల్. ప్రకాశయంతి బ్రింగ్ టు లైట్. దీస్ మంత్రాస్ రివీల్ ది ఎసెన్షియల్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మ, స్వరూపం ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మ. యాథాత్మ్యం మీన్స్ స్వరూపం, నేచర్. ఆత్మనః యాథాత్మ్యం ప్రకాశయంతి. దీస్ మంత్రాస్ రివీల్ ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది సెల్ఫ్. ఓకే, ఏతే మంత్రాః యాథాత్మ్యం, ఆత్మనః యాథాత్మ్యం ప్రకాశయంతి. దే రివీల్ ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది సెల్ఫ్. వెన్ దే రివీల్ ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది సెల్ఫ్, by revealing the nature of the self, what do they do? Prakashanena atma vishayam swabhavikam ajnanam nivartayanti. They remove the ignorance of the self. Self knowledge can remove only self ignorance. Self knowledge will not remove the ignorance of, it will not remove computer ignorance or physics ignorance or chemistry ignorance, mathematics ignorance. Okay, mathematics knowledge will remove only mathematics ignorance. Is it true? When you say knowledge is opposed to ignorance, means what? So self knowledge is not opposed to physics ignorance. It will not remove physics ignorance. Self-knowledge will remove only self-ignorance. So these mantras, ete mantraha atmanaha yathatmyam prakashayanti, these mantras reveal the nature of the self. By revealing the nature of the self, they remove the ignorance of the self. Atma vishayam swabhavikam ajnanam, the ignorance of the self. Atma vishayam ajnanam means what? Ignorance of the self. They remove. Is it clear? And this ignorance is not created natural. They remove the ignorance which is natural. Swabhavikam ajnanam. Atma vishayam swabhavikam ajnanam means they remove the natural ignorance of the self. Is it clear? Once the ignorance is removed, what do? Shoka mohadi. Shokaha grief, mohaha delusion, adi etc. Samsara dharma. Samsara dharma means what? The samsara expressed in the form of experience of grief, delusion, etc. Pairs of opposites, etc. Vichitti sadhanam. So they're removing the ignorance of the self. They create the clear knowledge of the truth, knowledge of the self, which is the means, sadhanam. The self knowledge is the means of removing samsara. Samsara expressed in the form of experience of pairs of opposites, grief, delusion, etc. So ajnanam nashayati, ajnana jatam samsaram api nashayati. Self-knowledge removes ignorance, and ignorance caused samsara, the life of transmigration. Samsara is what? Life of transmigration. Transmigratory life experienced, expressed in the form of experience of pairs of opposites, grief, delusion, etc. That's what he said. Shoka mohadi samsara dharma vichitti sadhanam. Sadhanam is a means of vichitti, means of destroying samsara dharma in the form of delusion, grief, etc. The delusion, grief means what? All experience of pairs of opposites. Pain, pleasure, success, failure, loss, gain, honor, dishonor. Isn't it? Always desirable, undesirable, desirable, undesirable situations we go through in life continuously. So life is a life of pairs of opposites. The desirable situation, undesirable situation. So going through the life of pairs of opposites, of desirable, undesirable situations is what? Expression of samsara dharma. Is it clear? So what he says, shoka mohadi samsara dharma vichitti sadhanam, the means of destroying the expression of samsara in the form of going through pairs of opposites such as grief, delusion, etc. What is that means? Atmayekatva vijnanam. They produce the oneness knowledge of the oneness of the self. Knowledge of the oneness of the reality implied by the term Atma. Knowledge of the oneness of Atma. Atma ekatva vijnanam utpadayanti. They create, they produce the knowledge of the oneness of the self, and which is the means of destroying samsara dharma expressed in the form of pairs of opposites such as grief, delusion, etc. Is it clear now? So it is said here, Ete mantraha yathatvyam prakashayanti, Atmanaha yathatvyam prakashayanti. They reveal the nature of the Atma. Thereby they remove the ignorance of the Atma, which is naturally there uncreated. Thereby they remove, they create the oneness, knowledge of the oneness of the self, which removes the samsara. Iti. Okay, finished. Avataharika Bhasham is over. What do they do? It's made very, very clear. I want you to say after me. Say now. Tasmat. Yete mantraha.
Yete mantraha.
Atmanaha. Yathatmyam.
Yathatmyam.
Prakashayanti.
Prakashayanti.
It's a long sentence. I'm breaking the sentence, making many small sentences, so you can understand. Yete mantraha. Atmanaha yathatmyam prakashayanti. Number one sentence. Second sentence. Yete mantraha atmanaha yathatmya prakashanena atmavishayam swabhavikam ajnanam nivartayanti. So atma vishayam ajnanam nivartayanti. Atma vishayam ajnanam nivartayanti. They remove the ignorance. Then what do they do? Yete mantraha shoka mohadi samsara dharma vichitti sadhanam atma ekatva vijnanam utpadayanti. Yete mantraha atma ekatva vijnanam atma ekatva vijnanam utpadayanti. They create the knowledge of the oneness of the Atma. Nice, nothing wrong. You say that. They create the knowledge of the oneness of the Atma. They produce, isn't it? Thereby, what do they do? That knowledge itself is the means, vichitti sadhanam, means of removing, means of resolving, removing, destroying samsara dharma, removing the samsara, the beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, otherwise called life of transmigration, expressed in the form of experience of pairs of opposites, and experience of delusion, grief, etc. Okay? Time just quickly passed, my God. Time just passed. Now, this is the subject matter of the Jnanakanda. Subject matter of Jnanakanda is different. Subject matter of Karmakanda is different. Adhikari for this subject is different. Adhikari for that subject is different. Prayojanam also is different. Therefore, Anubandha Chatushtayam is different. There were two different shastrams found in one textbook. And both shastrams are important for a sadhaka. One is for preparing one's mind for the other. They have to be followed sequentially. Ultimately, one can attain jnanam and moksha. Understand? So, says iti evam ukta adhikari abhideya sambandha prayojanan mantran sankshepatah vyakhyasyamah. Now he says, so Purvimamsakah have to remain quiet. They cannot stop him. Now he says, we shall explain. We shall comment. Vyakhyasyamah. We shall comment. We'll write commentary on these mantras. How sankshepatah, briefly we'll comment upon these mantras. His brief commentary is like this. We shall briefly sankshepatah vyakhyasyamah. We shall comment on these mantras briefly. And what these mantras? These mantras are completely different mantras. The adhik, for which adhikari is different. The person, there are people keeping whom in mind these mantras have been, you know, presented here in the Upanishad. Upanishad presents these mantras for completely a different adhikari. Adhikari, abhideya. Abhideya means what? Vishaya. Please note this there. The word abhideya in this Bhashyam actually means vishaya. Adhikari, vishaya, sambandha, prayojanaha. The anubandha chatushtayam of Upanishad is different. Okay, keeping different adhikari, having a different subject matter, and for a different purpose, these mantras are presented here in the form of Upanishad. So therefore, we should write commentary on that. Okay, sankshepatah vyakhyasyamah. Briefly now, comment upon these mantras. So that Karmakanda adhikari vishayaha sambandaha prayojanam completely is different. For, okay, that is different. This is different. Okay? Anubandha chatushtayam is different. Therefore, shastram is different. For which there is no bhashyam commentary. We have created commentary. And this Upanishad does not have connection with karma. Upanishadaha karma seshata nasti. Is it clear? Okay, now I stop. Any doubt you have here, please ask me. I was going to do elaborately, but I didn't want to. I thought all of you may find difficult to read Sanskritam. That's why I'm very slowly going on word by word. In fact, breaking a word for me is difficult. I want it fast. the whole sentence. If flow would be for me, not good. I am breaking for your sake. Now, any questions here? Come on. Yeah.
You said that sambandha or karma kanda. Sambandha or karma kanda and jnana kanda is the same. Pratipadika, pratipadya sambandha. But what is revealed, the content of that is different, no?
We've already said, no, subject matter. That Vishaya Veda. The difference in subject matter is already presented as Vishayaha. Subject matter of Karma Kanda is different from subject matter of the Jnana Kanda. When I say Pratipadaka Pratipadya Sambandaha, not between these two. The textbook, the mantras are the revealers, and the subject matter of the mantra is revealed. Okay, between the Karma Kanda and the Karma Kanda content, there is revealer-revealed connection. Between the Upanishad mantras and their content, revealer-revealed connection. That's all. So, Pratipadaka means revealer. Pratipadya revealed. Pratipadaka, Pratipadya sambandha between the mantras and their content. That's all I said. Yeah, there again subject matter is different. Already we said. They said, no, the passion, the person of passion, the person of dispassion. There's a karma, there's a jnanam, there's a time-bound result, a timeless result. Yeah. Any other question? See, tomorrow onwards, when I do the text, every mantra I want you to be thorough in the class itself. Any doubt, we can ask after the class, not during the class. During the class, listen and mark. Suppose if you have any doubt, mark and keep. And end of the class, you can ask me. So I want you to have thorough understanding of whatever is being said now. Okay? Tomorrow, even the Bhashya part, I will read it differently so that it will be easy for you. Any questions? Actually, I went little outside of the subject matter to make it clear certain things. But I brought the whatever you have to know here, I have brought them, but to light. Any questions?
Said that people who are lame or blind or deaf are not qualified for karma kanda. Are they qualified for jnana kanda? Like, are they qualified to study?
Yeah, good question. See, to perform a ritual, the person must be physically fit. You know, even simple things, even to remember somebody who is lame and things, or blind, even he cannot even cook, he cannot walk, isn't it? So even not only the religious activities, not only the religious ritual, karma, Vaidikam karma, even to perform any mundane activity, difficult for a person who is physically disabled. Difficult. Therefore it is said, but the person who is physically, whether the person is physically disabled or physically not disabled, the person can be, if he is qualified for jnanam, one can pursue jnanam. The physically disabled person may not be qualified for jnanam. See, the qualification required for the attainment of knowledge is completely different from the qualification required for performing a ritual. There you must have emotional, one must be adequately meant emotionally stable, intellectually sharp. So the mental, certain degree of mental purity and steadiness is required for, is a qualification required for the attainment of jnana. If even a person is lame, if he is mentally sharp, stable, intellectually sharp, and he has mental purity and steadiness, antahkarana shuddhi, antahkarana naishtalam, if he has, he can sit and listen to the shastra. Physical, you know, being physically disabled, invalid, does not prevent a person from attaining the jnana. If he is not mentally prepared, if he is not mentally pure and steady, if he is very restless, if he is not clean-minded, if he has a lot of emotions disturb him, even if he is fit also, he is not eligible for jnana. If he is physically also lame, he is not qualified. The qualification required for the attainment of jnana is different from the qualification required for the performance of ritual. The person who has no interest at all in having children, you know, why should he perform a ritual for having children? Putra kameshtiyaga. Or if he, even if he has desire for having children, if he is a pauper, he cannot look out his own stomach. He can't look out his own food. Why should he perform ritual for putra? He can't feed his, look out his family. You know what I'm saying? This is called dakshatva, dakshata. Dakshata means being capable, dakshata means expertise, being capable of, you know, performing a ritual. The capability, capacity involves his physical condition, mental condition, his financial position, isn't it? Age, 90-year-old, 70-year-old man, I want to get married, so I want to do vivaha, I want to perform a ritual. He's 75. So he wants to perform a ritual. For what? To get married. There's a dakshata. He not qualified. That's what I'm saying. So qualification implies, first of all, that's why the three qualifications are mentioned here. One is arthitva. Arthitva means having the status of being desirous of enjoying the fruits of results, the actions, fruits of actions. Karma phala anubhoge arthitva. I want to enjoy this result. That desire must be there. It must be driven. That's a qualification for a person to be a performer of a ritual. Second thing, the person must be physically fit. And he must know, I can do this. I can study Veda, I can perform a ritual, I can chant Veda. Because I'm eligible now, I have sacred thread, I'm twice born. Have you answered a question? Have you answered? That is why, doesn't matter how you are physically, you must take care of your mental qualification. In fact, the whole shastra study, the whole life, the way of life prescribed by the shastra, enjoined by the shastra, the way of life enjoined by the shastra, how I should live my life, is actually to prepare your mind for jnana. If you are preparing your mind for jnanam, the life has served its purpose. Otherwise, life is a waste. Jnanam can be attained easily. Moksha can be attained very, very easily. Preparing the mind for jnanam involves effort. That is why yoga has to be emphasized. Yoga, this seva here, isn't it? Tamas has to be driven away first. You must be rajasic to drive away the tamas. From being rajasic, you can become sattvic. You can't jump from being tamasic to sattvic. How can you become sattvic overnight? In between, you need what? Tamas has to go, for which you must become rajasic first. Rajas has to be there. From being rajasic, you can become sattvic. That is why it's very important to all this. We highly validate what is being taught in Shivananda Ashram. clear the question? It's okay. Today, Avatarika Bhashyam is complete. If you have any doubts in this, please go through the text. And Panoliji's translation is good, but still it needs certain explanation. I just went a little outside to explain things. If you have any doubts, please come back and ask me. Okay? No hesitation. You need not hesitate. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Garbhyo Namaha Hari Om.